Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I don't need a show of hands this afternoon, but I think it's quite possible that everyone in the crowd here today has heard of the famous scientist Isaac Newton. That he's no relation to the Fig Newton, of course, but he lived hundreds of years ago in England, and he was on the cutting edge of science as a physicist and a mathematician way back when. And not only was he a key figure in the scientific revolution, but his contributions laid the groundwork for classical mechanics as we understand it today. And he's famous for a great many of his ideas, but the three that most readily come to my mind are his famous three laws of motion. Now, since I think none of you came to hear a science lesson by the world's worst science teacher, I think maybe I'll just summarize them very briefly. The first one is that if an object is in motion, it will continue unless there's an external force that acts on it. The second one is the vector sum of forces of an object, blah, blah, blah. But it's the third one that I want to talk about today. And it's probably the easiest to understand. And it's also probably the one that most people remember. It says, for every action, there is an equal and what?
Opposite
reaction. That's right. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You've heard this saying. I've heard this saying. And it kind of instantly makes sense if you think about it. As you sit down in your chairs, not only are you putting force on your chairs, but the chair is putting force back up against you. And it explains how birds can fly as they flap their wings. They're putting force down on the air, and the air is pushing back. How things swim in the ocean and so on and so forth. It plays out all around us. It's an unavoidable law of nature because that's how the universe works. Well, today I'd like to suggest that with God's Holy Spirit working within us, we can completely overcome this third law of motion. And in fact, I'll go so far as to say that each and every day we should strive to leave this law behind us, to ignore it. Like it doesn't even exist, and it doesn't apply to us in the slightest. Now, of course, I'm talking about this in a slightly different way. Mr. Isaac Newton was talking about the physical characteristics of a physical world, but all too often, this is also how human interactions play out with one another. For example, if someone does something wrong to you, it's very natural for you to want to get even, do wrong back to them. And conversely, if someone is kind to you, gentle to you, then you also feel like, well, maybe I should be kind back to them. But let's notice something Christ says in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn back there. Matthew chapter 5. This is right in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. And there's a concept there that I'd like to bring out in the context of what we're talking about today. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll pick it up in verse 39, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. It says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, you slap him right back. Right? I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that the equal and opposite reaction? I mean, we have to stick up for ourselves, right? We have the right, or I dare say the obligation, to be strong and tough and not let anyone take advantage of us. Is that right? Well, let's continue on. Verse 39, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Well, I'm afraid as Christians, God has called us to follow a different law and a different way of life. In these three short verses here in Matthew, we have three different examples of how people might mistreat us. Someone might lash out at you at anger and maybe even physical or certainly emotional and verbal abuse. Secondly, someone's taking advantage of you, maybe legally or otherwise. And thirdly, it's an abuse of authority. Back in this time, a Roman soldier could compel someone to carry his gear for a time. But those are just three of any number of situations where someone is doing you wrong. And our natural then response is to defend ourselves, to strike back with equal and opposite reaction. In other words, to return evil for evil. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, just a few verses later, it sums up nicely. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I mean, that's what I've heard. And that's what we might fall back on if we're not careful. If someone is nice to us, then we're nice to them. If someone's mean and hurtful, then we get them back. And that's the equal and opposite reaction that you would expect. And that is very often that normal course of action within human behavior all around us. Verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, if we're able to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, pray for those who spitefully use us, then we are effectively ignoring that Newton's third law of motion, although in a spiritual concept where it really matters the most. Now, I wanted to turn to one other example in the Bible, and it's back in Micah. You can turn back there. It might not be what you've considered in this context before, but I want to head back there to Micah. It's a little tiny book between Jonah and Nahum, and he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel after they and the southern kingdom had split into two. And this was leading up to the time where the northern kingdom was going to be taken away into captivity and foreshadowing a time when the southern kingdom was to follow. Now, for all the times that God had worked with Israel, all the miracles, all the signs and wonders and prophets and blessings, through it all, the people continued to turn their back on God. We know the story. And he was about to let them go into captivity. But I want to notice the words here that were inspired for Micah to write. In Micah chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20. Again, that's Micah 7, verses 18 through 20. And I'm going to read this through the New Living Translation because I think it brings out the emotion much more clearly. Micah 7, verse 18 says, "Where is another God like you who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever, because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love as you promised to our ancestors, Abraham and Jacob, long ago." After all of the transgressions, all of the murmuring and complaining and idolatry and unfaithfulness, God could have been well within his rights to just obliterate these people. He could have wiped them out completely. They broke their end of the covenant, and they signed up to all the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 8 if they were to do so. And if God would have acted with that equal and opposite force, he could have just destroyed them. But that's not how God works, neither to the ancient nation of Israel, nor to modern-day sinners like you and I. God gives us the perfect example to emulate. Instead of the equal and opposite reaction, God highlights compassion, mercy, love. Did God, through the nation of Israel, not only love them, even when they hated him, bless them, even when they cursed him, do good to those hard-hearted, stubborn people, even when they turn to worthless wooden idols of their pagan neighbors? Well, in conclusion, Mr. Isaac Newton devised three fundamental laws that help explain our physical environments. But all too often, human beings also take this principle and apply it in our relationships with one another. However, we are to completely ignore that third law of motion in our spiritual lives. Instead of repaying evil for evil, or even just repaying good for those that do us good, we know a better way. Spiritually, we don't respond with an equal and opposite reaction. Instead, we follow the principles enumerated by Christ on the Sermon on the Mount and the many patient examples of God as he dealt with the nation of Israel through time. And as a result, we do better. Well, I don't know about you, but I have a long way to go in this regard. But with God's help and with a lifetime of practice, hopefully we can all one day say, "I'm sorry, Mr. Newton, but I'm afraid your laws just don't apply to us Christians."